Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas, my colleague in New South Wales, and we're going to do a reptile report. So for those of us who are squeamish about snakes, not only are these snakes, and they can be very large snakes, they're extremely venomous large snakes. There's the brown snake, the eastern brown snake. There's the red-bottomed black snake. There are snakes that come inside, especially when it's raining a lot. Jeremy, you apparently grew up with one of the premier snake catchers in all of Australia. Introduce us to him, and what is it that he's responsible to do this year with all the rain?
That's right, John. One of our snake catchers in Adelaide. In fact, the snake catcher that my family used when I was living back in Adelaide, South Australia, Rolly Burrell of Snake Catchers Adelaide, is still out there catching snakes this summer. In fact, he is now world known across the nation here and now around the world because of the news coverage for catching one of the biggest eastern brown snakes in Australia. Now, this is a 2 meter brown snake. And when you think of brown snakes, you're thinking about a meter and a half. So maybe 4 feet at most, not 6 feet, which is what he's picked up. But he's basically caught on to the fact that there is a trend now that there are these monster brown snakes out there. And he's making a name for himself in Adelaide, my hometown, for catching these particular snakes. And I don't think it's any coincidence that we've had a lot of flooding and a lot of unusual weather, and suddenly these snakes are bigger. Because as we've spoken about before, John, the flooding has brought in these mice plagues. They've brought in a lot more conditions where there's been a lot more food for these snakes, and they are getting bigger. They've got a lot more plentiful food to eat, to breed, and they're just getting more and more, I guess you could say, courageous insofar as they're able to now work and live around humans, because the floodwaters keep washing them into human territory. So snakes are notoriously territorial. They'll try and live away from humans if they can, but the floodwaters are pushing them more and more into urban areas. So we've suddenly got a race of snakes in South Australia, certainly here in New South Wales and Victoria, that are not as scared. And Rolly, luckily enough, because when we had him as a snake catcher, he was absolutely fabulous, and we had him over to the house at least 4 or 5 times a summer catching snakes. People like him are the ones that are going to save us.
The snakes are fleeing the floodwaters, yes, but that does not explain snakes that climb trees. Why are they climbing the trees?
Well, the short answer, John, is to get away from the floodwaters and to get away from all the nasties that are on the ground. But the other reality is as well that snakes generally, there is a point where snakes find it too hot themselves. While we always say as the temperature gets warmer and warmer, the snakes come out and that's when it's most dangerous, but they don't like really hot temperatures as well. So here in Australia, when we get to that 100 Fahrenheit, which is about 37, 40 degrees Celsius, on the ground, the snakes have a lot of problem because their skin begins to burn. Basically, they overheat. So what they do is they do climb trees. They get up into the airflow. They get off the ground. They get away from where they're basically being baked, especially if there's a lot of concrete around in an urban area, which means you start to get snakes in a tree. Luckily enough that most of the time when you have snakes in a tree, they tend to wrap themselves around and they don't, as folklore will tell you, jump down and try and attack you. But you do get snakes up there. So I guess you could say the warnings that are happening this year from pretty much most of our local government departments about snakes and snake awareness is not only do you watch on the ground for when you're walking in the bush, try not to tread on the snakes, but also look up. Don't, climb any trees. Don't sort of put your hands up into any high shrubbery because guess what? There could be a brown snake.
Now, Australians are cheerful people and you look for the bright side of everything. However, these are really poisonous snakes. These are snakes where if you're bitten, you need to move very quickly, half hour, an hour, to get to medical assistance. You've told me that. So what explains the Guardian Australia version making fun of all of this? The headline, they'll swim, they'll climb trees, experts issue warning over snakes on the floodplains. That's not a typo. H-I-S-S-U-E. Are you lighthearted about your snakes? You know, you just happen to go for a walk and step over an eastern brown snake that could kill you?
You know what? I think we are just so used to them, honestly. I mean, I myself, while we are always on the watch, we know what to do. We are becoming much more used to them. And unfortunately, I think we are. We find it just funny because we are cheerful as far as being an Aussie. And the fact is that as long as you don't get bitten by the snake, which means as long as you leave them alone, you don't torment them, you'll be okay. But the sad thing is, John, we do have people killed each year by brown snakes, by snake bites. But as you mentioned, as long as you seek medical attention, and I mean, half hour is the golden rule, but the reality is most snake bites will kill you in a matter of hours. So unless you're, say, a baby or a child, you know, you've still got a few hours to get to a hospital, but make sure you call emergency services straight away, bandage up the wound, make sure you get it nice and tight. And you will normally be okay, because the great thing, John, about being in Australia, we have anti-venom at nearly all of our hospitals. Certainly all the rural ones have the anti-venom. So, you know, you can get bitten and survive, and then that becomes a great story at the pub later on.
All right, we'll leave the 2-6-foot-long eastern brown snake in the restroom. We'll leave him, her alone, and we'll go to a story that's very sad. New South Wales queen bee breeders struggle with Varroa mite control measures. Remember when this started, Jeremy? It was, I believe, your early spring. And it started, as I recall, in Queensland. And they were trying to ring fence it. They were trying to isolate. It looks like they're losing the battle.
That's right, John. Unfortunately, when it began in Queensland, it had already transferred itself south to the port city of Newcastle, which is in northern New South Wales, north of Sydney here. And by that point, it was very much known that the Varroa mite virus had pretty much infiltrated our bee industry in Australia. And remind people, too, that the bee industry in Australia is very important because we do export our honey. We do have a large tourist industry based on the honey industry. So in mid and northern New South Wales, the fact that we suddenly lost all these bees was a huge, devastating blow to the tourism up there and also a lot of local businesses. Now what it looks like is that those same controls that we put in place to basically try and stop the Varroa mite being expanded, which was essentially telling beekeepers all up and down the New South Wales and Queensland coastline to destroy their hives, and then down as far as Victoria because it had spread so far south, they have got to the point where they've destroyed so many of the hives and they've destroyed so much of their natural population of bees that the recovery is just not going to be there. They can't rebuild those beehives. They need the queen bees, many of which had to be killed off because of the potential for Varroa mite spreading. So right now, while we're now coming up to, you know, pretty close on at least 9 months into this thing, when we thought we'd be out of the woods, we thought we'd be all better now with our bee industry. These poor hive owners and basically the bee industry is just not recovering because they don't have the bees, the queen bees to rebuild. And there's no real solution because you can't just suddenly bring queen bees into a region from elsewhere. You need to basically establish them in their own territory. You need to sort of build them up and make them work. So, John, I think this industry, unfortunately, is still going to be well and truly degraded for probably the next year or a couple of years. I think there's some new predictions.
New South Wales, I read from the report, was the biggest supplier of queen bees in Australia. But Mr. Wilson said that has all changed when Varroa arrived, with bee movements restricted, hives destroyed. He explains, Tasmania, Queensland, and Victoria relied on New South Wales, as you need to requeen your hive every year. But now there's a shortage. I don't know how they're going to get around that. Very sad, Jeremy. We'll follow this story because where they know what they must do, the question is, can they execute? Jeremy Zakas reporting on the scary 6-foot-long eastern brown snake and also the sadness of the loss of the queen bees and the hives in an attempt to ring-fence the Varroa mite. We're headed to my cricket lesson, the first I've had in several weeks, and there's a new and exciting development in cricket that the traditionalists who know this game very well, as I do not, regret, but there it is. When we come back, the T20. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like 2-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits.
McDonald's breakfast comes first.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.